Good evening. Good to see y'all with us tonight. We've got a lot in the back, and I'm gonna pretend that's why they're not here, because they're all back in Bible hour. But it's good to have y'all with us. Good to have y'all with us. We do hope that Dana have a really good revival, be successful, and be able to really reach people. Tonight's lesson, as David said, is going to be on the rewards of obedience. You know, there's many things about living the Christian life that are confusing to people. And we know it isn't because of God that they're confused. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 14:33 that God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. So why is it that so many people get confused? Well, it's because Satan works very hard at confusing people. And just because we become a Christian doesn't mean that he stops working to confuse us. He does so to keep us from doing what God desires us to do. You know, I'm sure what we know when Jesus established the church, that he didn't mean for there just to be churches of all kinds all over. The church is what the Bible says. I will establish my church. But there's so many different beliefs in the Christian faith, and most of these beliefs will partially obey what the Bible says we must do as Christians. But if we partially obey, we aren't really being completely obedient to God. And with that said, I'd like to take just a few minutes tonight to speak to you on the subject of obedience. You know, the Bible tells us for those who are truly obedient, there will be a great reward. In Revelation 22, verse 12, the Bible tells us, "Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man," but it doesn't stop there, "to render to every man according to what he has done." You see, there's rewards of being a faithful servant and being obedient. And as we look at the Bible, we see that many men were obedient, and they were rewarded for it. There's a great story in the Bible about a man named Noah. Although he was 500 years old, he was told to build this ark, and he did it. Can you imagine? You know, we have people say, "I'm too old to teach class," but 500 years old, and he starts building this ark, and he works on it obediently for about 100 years. That's obedience. But he built it with the exact specifications, the exact length, the exact width, the right kind of wood, the exact dimensions. He did it obediently. And he was rewarded for his obedience, right? Him and his family, weren't they rewarded? When the flood came, they were rewarded. They were saved from it. And Abel, Enoch, Abraham, Isaac, Job, and Elijah, and others, many others were obedient as we read the Bible. And as we read the Old Testament, it's full of wonderful stories of those who were obedient. But it's also full of stories of those who were not. Some were disobedient and were not rewarded, while some were obedient and were. One of the fascinating stories, and this is what we're going to look at tonight, it's a story about a man named Naaman. And if you would, you can turn to 2 Kings chapter 5. We're going to read verses 1 through 14. It's a little lengthy there, but you can read it there. I will try my best to talk and turn this thing at the same time. I don't know that I'll be successful at it, but I'll try to keep up here too. And the Bible tells us, "Now Naaman, captain of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man with his master and highly respected because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man was also a valiant warrior, but he was a leper. Now the Arameans had gone out in bands and had taken captive a little girl from the land of Israel, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said to her mistress, 'I wish that my master were with the prophet who's in Samaria. Then he would cure him of his leprosy.' And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, 'Thus and thus spoke this girl who's from the land of Israel.' Then the king of Aram said, 'Go now, and I'll send a letter to the king of Israel.' He departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothes. And he brought a letter to the king of Israel, saying, 'And now as this letter comes to you, behold, I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you may cure him of his leprosy. When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, Am I a God to kill and to make alive, that this man is sending word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? But consider now and see how he is seeking a quarrel against me. And it happened when Elisha, the man of God, heard about the king of Israel tearing his clothes, that he sent word to the king saying, Why have you torn your clothes? Now let him come to me and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and his chariots and stood at the doorway of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh will be restored to you, and you will be clean. But Naaman was furious and went away and said, Behold, I thought surely he would come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and cure me of leprosy. Are not the Abana and the Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the rivers of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. Then his servants came near and spoke to him and said, My father, had the prophet told you to do something great, you would have done it. How much more then when he says, Wash and be clean? So he did. He went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God, really of the messenger. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. You know, we see some interesting things in this story of Naaman. First of all, he wasn't just your ordinary Joe off the street. We see he was a captain for the king of the king's army. He was an important person to that king. We also see he had leprosy. In those days, leprosy was a terrible skin disease. It would be like if we had cancer or something, and it's stage 4. I mean, you've got it. You know, you were treated different, though. They didn't mind treating. You had to stay away. We see a little girl, though, had faith in God, faith that God could cure Naaman. And her faith was so strong that Naaman decides to see about it. So Naaman goes to the king of Israel so he can be healed of this disease. And look what happens. The king thinks Naaman's trying to find a way to pick a fight with his country. I mean, I can see it. Here's the captain of this army. He's a valiant warrior. He has already delivered. Now he's coming here. He's going to pick a fight with us. So the king is scared, you know. Think about it. What if somebody came? I could think if somebody came to me and said, You're a Christian of this God. Cure me of cancer. Boy, talk about pressure. You know, this king, you know, he had about as much faith as I might would have. It scared him. So Elisha hears about it, heard what happened. He sends word to Naaman to send Naaman to him. Well, the king's thrilled, right? It's off his back. He's relieved, so he sends him to Elisha. But when Naaman gets to the house of Elijah, he doesn't even get to see him. Man, here you think about this picture. Here's a captain in the army. He's important. He's used to people probably running up to him, sucking up. That's what you see people do to important people, or people they think are somebody. He's come to this king. He's been sent off. He goes to Elisha. All his soldiers are watching. You've got your soldiers, your horses, your chariots, and Elisha doesn't even come to the door. Talk about an insult. You know, first the king has insulted him, and now he's being brushed off by this so-called prophet. And we see that Naaman expected things to be done in a way that he was used to having them done, in the way he wanted them done. What do we do many times when we pray to God? How do we expect him to answer our prayers? I expect them answered the way I want them answered. Be honest with you. That's kind of how we are. He was just like many of us. He expected the results that he wanted. But Naaman goes on to name some rivers. This got me. You know, I always think about the Trinity River when I think about a dirty river. When I was a kid, we fished in it, swam in it, got frogs lived in it back then. You know, it was clean enough then. Now I think, ooh, I wouldn't want to be in that thing with leprosy, with sores all over me. So I could agree with Naaman. I could think of better rivers I can see how he'd be filled with rage. After all, he's come a long way and been treated with disrespect and now being told something that makes absolutely no sense. But we see Naaman is hanging around with the right kind of people. His servants speak to him. They try to get him to calm down and listen. You know, a lot of times when we're mad, we don't listen. He was filled with rage. But they calmed him down, got him to listen. And they talked some sense into him and tried to persuade him to at least do what the prophet said. What can it hurt? You know, that's some people talking with reason. After all, you've come this far. And verse 14 tells us, he did. He went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to what was told from the man of God. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child. And he was clean. You know, this is a great story on obedience. Elisha didn't even see Naaman. He wasn't even invited into his house. You know, that's not the Christian way, is it? You know, that's how we might do a lot of times. You know, send a lowly servant to the door to tell him what to do. You know, God doesn't speak directly to us. He's got his messengers. God's got servants on this earth, right, that tell us. But we need to listen. He had someone telling him what he had to do to be cured. We need to listen and be obedient, just like Naaman. There are a few principles here we're going to look at right quick. That can bring us rewards if we would just learn from them. And the first is that our needs are oftentimes God's opportunity for us to learn a lesson in obedience. You know, many times in life we have needs that can only be met by God. These are golden opportunities to see that God is bigger than anything that we can face. Naaman thought that his greatest need was to be cured of leprosy. You know, a lot of times when we've got problems, that's our greatest need, that problem. But it turned out to be a great lesson on the power of God. He saw that God can do what no one else can do. The second thing is that obedience will often require us to do something that is impractical in our eyes. Naaman was told to dip in this dirty river 7 times. Now, how rational is that? That's not very rational at all. He probably wondered, well, if that river will do that, why did I see all these Israelites that had leprosy at that colony on my way in? Why aren't all the Israelites cured of leprosy? But you see, God hadn't told anyone else to get in the Jordan River. And if he hadn't obeyed God and dipped in the Jordan River 7 times. Well, we know he dipped 7 because he dipped till he was clean, right? I'm sure every time he came up, he was looking. Well, that didn't do any good. That's the attitude we have a lot of times. Well, I'm going to do it. Dipped, and on the 7th time, he came up and was cured. The third thing is that failure to obey God could very well cost us the thing that we desire the most. You think about it, how many people let pride get in their way of obeying God? You know, well, I've told people this, or if I do this, then that means I was wrong. Or, hey, a lot of times we can come up with excuses not to do what we finally see that we should do. Naaman certainly had his pride hurt because he'd been mistreated from the very beginning. Many people allow anger and pride to cause them not to do things that they really need to do. Some allow their pride and anger to cause them to have unbelief because they get angry. When we get angry, we stop listening. But Naaman was able to gain much more than clean skin by listening. He was able to see that the one true God can do anything. Anything. He learned more than just about clean skin. He was able to see that the God of Israel was the supreme God of all. We still have that same God. He's still able to work miracles. We might not think about it, but that's our lack of faith, not God. Have you done all that God said to do? Have you been obedient? Or have you only done part? Real obedience is doing what God said to do, doing it how God said to do it, and doing it when God says to do it. The fourth thing is, all of these are important, but this is very important. Being around the right kind of people can encourage obedience to God. You know, if Naaman was, he was filled with rage, he was furious, he didn't want to go dip in that dirty river. He's already come this far, he's brought all these valuable items, he's been shunned by everybody. It was an insult of his intelligence and a waste of time. But he had people who were begging him to do what was right, to be cured. We need to be very careful of the kind of people we hang around. You know, if he'd have been surrounded by a bunch of people who were saying, come on, let's whip them, let's just jump on this country, what would have happened? But he was around people who said, hey, settle down, look at it, try it. We need to be careful with the kind of people we listen to. Are the ones that you listen to the ones that are helping you or hurting you? You know, it's easy to be good in church. Well, then maybe we need to hang around church people more often. The last thing that I want to mention is that the reward of our obedience will strengthen and encourage our faith. And it'll also strengthen and encourage the faith of others. You know, when Naaman was completely obedient, he came up out of that Jordan River cured, cleansed. But he also came out a total believer in God. And all of those who were there with him were also believers in God. You see, that obedience didn't just cure him of leprosy. Look at all the people who believed in the true and the living God. You see, only when we are obedient to God can we really see what God can do in our lives. When we completely obey God, that's when we're richly blessed. Now, God gives us a freedom of choice whether we obey or not. But we will be judged on the day of judgment based on obedience, based on what we've done. God set forth terms of salvation. God set them forth. And the rules by which we must live. In John 12, 48 through 50, Jesus Christ said, there is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. The very words I have spoken will condemn them at the last day. For I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken. I know that his commands lead to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what the Father told me to say. So what did Jesus say? Let's just take a minute here as we close to look at some areas where Jesus said it's very clear that in these areas we should be obedient. First of all, we've got to hear the good news, right? In John 6:45, Jesus said, it's written by the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. We know it's true. Jesus said it. But he also said we must believe. In John 6:47, Jesus said, the one who believes has eternal life. But he didn't stop there. He said we must repent. In Luke 5:32, Jesus said, I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus said we must also confess him. In Matthew 10:32, he said, if you confess me before men, say, let me reread that. If you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Jesus also said we must be baptized. And there's a lot of verses on this. I've just picked out Mark 16:16, where Jesus says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. You see, it takes both. You can't just be baptized and be saved. You got to have belief. If you don't have belief, you're not going to be baptized in the first place. You don't care about being saved. So that's easy to understand. Acts 2:38, Peter told them when they asked, what must we do to be saved? Peter said, repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. See, he's laying it out. This is God's word. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But it takes more than that. Jesus said we must remain faithful. In John 15:5-6, Jesus tells us, if you remain in me, if you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Now we're in him, right? If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers. And such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. My question is, are you obedient? Are you completely obedient? You know, Jesus said every one of these things that I read to you, all these verses were Jesus speaking, except for right there in Acts 2:38. But Jesus had already said in Mark 16:16 to be baptized. All of these verses are Jesus Christ speaking. Are you a Christian? Have you done what the Bible says and put your complete trust in Jesus? If so, are you obedient? And have you continued to be obedient? I hope so. Because if so, that's great. But if not, it's time to get back. It's time to be a Christian because we only have our next breath. We never know our last day. If you need us to help you in any way, then we'd ask that you do so as we stand and sing.